Encourage you to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the last chapter of the book of Matthew. I'm happy to announce that we are almost to the end of our study of the book of Matthew. It only took us 7 years, and I never said that I was fast. I'm a little slow when it comes to expositing books of the Bible, but we've had a lot of different things in between. And I hope that our study together of the book of Matthew has been beneficial to you. I hope that we have grown together in our knowledge of what the Lord shared in this book. And we come down to the last chapter. There's only 20 verses. And you'll notice that it ends with a Hebraism. Amen, or Amen, as the Hebrew puts it. And has the idea that this is truth. This is truth. We need to understand that we live in a world of lies. This was kind of brought out this week with the announcements that were made on Friday by just about every news media that the president had told an individual to lie to the investigators and so forth. And then the special counsel came out at the end of the day and said, we want to announce that that is a total fabrication. That's not true. And it had been all day long in the news media. And the investigator has to stop and announce to everybody that's just not a true statement. Even they couldn't allow that one to continue on. We live in a world of lies. And you and I have constantly got to be on our toes and evaluating things to see whether they are true or not. And I want you to see in this message today another lie for the ages. Another lie for the ages. Remember how that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests, and the scribes had all said that Jesus was not the Son of God. They had put their official word out that Jesus is not the Son of God. And now they're going to put a slant on another truth. And that is, Jesus Christ did not rise bodily from the tomb. They have to make up something really quick for this one because they were totally caught off guard. They thought after Pilate had sent his crack soldiers that everything was going to be fine, the disciples would not be able to steal the body, and everything would just come out like they wanted it to. But you can't hold back the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, you cannot suppress the truth. Romans chapter 1 says that in the last days there will be many who will suppress the truth. What truth? The truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of His Word. It'll be constantly attacked and called a lie. And other things will be pushed forward as truth. I want to read with you the first 15 verses of Matthew chapter 28 as we consider here another lie for the ages. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. This is the second one, by the way. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. When we did our study on the Christian in clothing, I pointed out that this was another picture into heaven of the garb of the saints. And the garb of the angels and of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, they are clothed in white as snow. And for fear of Him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see Him. Lo, I have told you. So what He did was share with them the message. Jesus Christ is risen from the tomb. He is going to Galilee. He wants you to tell the disciples to meet Him there, and He will show Himself to them there. I have told you. This is the truth. What happens? And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring His disciples word. And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So the word of the angel is verified by whom? None other than Jesus Christ. They're to go to Galilee, and he's going to meet them there. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch, or those are the soldiers, came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. In other words, you won't go to the gallows for sleeping. We're going to help. We're going to take care of you. We're not going to cause any harm to come to you. We'll take whatever comes and we'll persuade them to go. So, verse 15, they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. And I'm here to tell you that to this day, the rabbis, the Judaic sects, and all of them, the Orthodox, the Sephardic, the other branches of the, there are several of them, branches of Judaism, all have recorded in the rabbinical writings the following, that the disciples stole the body of Jesus. They accepted the lie as truth because they could not abide by the fact that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, which is what they said he was not, and secondly, that he rose bodily from the tomb. A lie for the ages. People will believe a lie before they will believe the truth. Let's pray and ask God to help us to understand these things as it's shared with us in God's Word. Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand the times in which we live and to understand that people will indeed believe a lie before they will believe the truth. The deception of Satan and his hosts is great. But also, you've told us in your Word in 1 Thessalonians that in chapter 5 that you will send strong delusion into this world. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you say the same thing, that strong delusion will be sent into this world, that they will believe a lie. Father, I pray that you'd help us to not be afraid of the truth, but help us to be faithful witnesses of the truth in spite of what the world puts forth as truth. And I pray that we might understand that this is the work of Satan to plant the seed of lies. And I pray that we might seek to know the truth, that we might be set free, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give a little background about this particular passage of Scripture, and then I want to get to the heart of what I want to share with you today. And that is how lies become truth. How lies become truth. If you repeat something over and over again and it hangs around in the history books and gets passed along, sooner or later it becomes truth. And I can give you an example in the teaching of evolution. Evolution came out as a theory in 1851 in the writings of Charles Darwin. It was bantered about for 100 years whether this was true or not. By the early 1920s, we see evolution being taught in schools, and it was a famous trial that was held in Tennessee about that. And they decided that, you know what, we don't want this taught, but you know what? It was not taken out of the books. The textbooks continued to have evolution put in there. And now, today, on our university campuses and in our public schools, and in many private schools, evolution is taught as fact. And anyone that says otherwise should not have a voice and should be silenced. It went from a theory to fact and no proof in between. No proof. It's just the believing of a what? A lie that was put forth. A lie that was put forth. Scientists today, DNA scientists, are struggling with the cultural gender issue right now. Scientists are afraid to come out, but many of them have and published things that says, It's in the DNA of what gender you are. Right now, the suicide rate among those that have been waffling on the gender issue is twice the national average, taking their lives. The culturalists, the sociologists are saying, it's because we're not accepting of these people and they're taking their lives. No, it's because they're going against God-created DNA. And they just come to the place where they can't live themselves. They're not happy. They can't exist. And that's horrible. It's horrible because they have believed a lie. And I'm afraid to tell you this, but I sense, even in our churches today, an acceptance of believing certain lies. Certain lies that get promoted in the culture or lies that get promoted even in the church. Well, people will start promoting things. For instance, we cannot reach the young people if we don't give them what they want. That is a what? That is a lie. That is a lie. God is not bound by culture to reach and save souls of children and teenagers. And to be able to communicate His Word to them, it was the Lord Jesus that brought a child and put the child in His lap and communicated some of the greatest truths about His love for us. I want to tell you something, folks. We have to be careful that we not accept lies and let them rise to the level of truth with no proof in between. Now get what I'm saying this morning. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to gauge everything by this book. And the reason why we're accepting lies is because we don't know this book. We don't know it. We can memorize quaint verses that we like to repeat and repeat them over and over and over again. But I want to tell you something. There are so many principles and truths and doctrines in the Word of God that will help us to understand. And God included these verses of Scripture to help us to understand how lies get started, why they get started, and why they get believed. Right here in His Word. To help us. To help us not accept lies as truth. There were ladies who came out and brought spices. They had come again to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus. They knew the soldiers would be there because they had been told that. A watch had been set. And so they would certainly get permission from them to roll the stone away and be able to go in there and put spices on the body. Remember, we said that the preservation process of the body of Jesus was done very hastily by two men. They simply poured out the oils upon the wrapped body of Jesus, and that was as far as it went. And so these ladies would come. They wanted to do a more proper burial. So they came with their spices, we're told. Mary Magdalene and Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone of the door and sat upon it. And by the way, it wasn't because they needed to let Jesus out. It was because He wanted to show that Jesus was already gone. Jesus Christ had left. And we know that because of the condition of the grave clothes. You remember how it's described in the other Gospels? How the clothing was laid neatly as if the body were still in it, right there before them. He had passed from that and passed through the stone and had left. And the angel came and an earthquake came and they rolled back the stone to show that Jesus Christ was indeed risen. There are so many miracles associated with this that indicate the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, just as the Bible had said, just as Jesus had said. These ladies came to do a service for their Lord, and they were met by an angel. How many of you have been met by an angel? I tell you, you think about it, the Bible tells us that there are angels that serve unawares. We may have met an angel, don't know it. I don't know. But I do know this, that these ladies were taken aback by what they saw. Because the angel said, fear not. Fear not. They were afraid. What's going on here? What's happening here? His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. If you've ever been around welding rods, you get an idea of how bright light can be. I've done a little bit of welding. I've also, when I was in college, I worked an old-fashioned theater movie projector that used arc rods to produce the light. The light was so strong that we had to be very careful to make sure that the film was moving through the projector before we flipped the leather up, because if you flipped up the lever to allow the light to pass through and the film was not moving, it would sever it just like a laser beam. That happened too many times. We had special film tape that we kept in there just in case that happened, because sometimes you would engage the lever and take a few moments to get those big reels moving through, and then we would lift up the lever to let the light through, and sometimes it wouldn't be moving fast enough. Boom, sever it. Stop. Tape it all back together again, get it going again so that we could show the film. But setting those arc rods together, two of them, putting them in this giant machine that was very powerful, and we would put those in there with special gloves and line them up with special levers that you had to turn to be able to get them lined up, and then you would close the lid on that box, the heat box, with a big exhaust fan to draw out the heat and the smoke from those rods burning. Put on the special glasses and then touch the rods together back and forth until they finally lit and began to burn. And that light filled the whole room. You could walk over to a corner and you could flip up the light thing and you could just see the whole room was just like brilliant white light. That's a picture of this angel that was before these women. Like lightning. And his countenance and his body was clothed with raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The soldiers that were there were all knocked out or became as dead men. I don't know if the women saw them laying on the ground. I don't know if the soldiers had gotten up when they realized that when the stone had been rolled away and that the body was gone, that they just took off running. Something happened in that interim. But you have two groups of witnesses that I want you to see here. You have the soldiers that got up and left when they realized the body was gone. And then you have these ladies that came and bore witness to the fact that Jesus Christ, and by the way, the Lord Jesus appeared to them as well to allay their fears, and they went back and they carried the message to the disciples. Now, I want to move quickly here. He is not here, verse 6, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Now, when they came to the door and they looked inside, what did they see? They saw an astounding thing. First of all, the body of Jesus is gone, but the wrappings are not unwrapped like you would see, like what they were going to have to do to put the spices in there. They knew what they had to do. It was not a pleasant experience, especially when a body was so badly beaten and bruised as Jesus' body was, but they were prepared to go and unwrap and then put the spices in, and then rewrap the body. But when they got in there, the wrappings were in two pieces. There was the full body piece, completely wrapped together, laying there. And then there was the headpiece, completely still wrapped, like a turban, wrapped there, laying there. Is that normal? No, it's not. Nor could you replicate that if you tried. That was miraculous. What had been done. Jesus had just come forth through that out of the tomb to walk before men. The risen Savior. Come see the tomb where He lay. If you don't trust your eyes about Me, come trust your eyes about what you see here in the tomb. You're standing here at the tomb and you see the wrappings. You see the blood stains. You see all of this right before you. He is not here. He is risen. And then this little phrase, as He said. In other words, God said it, it happened. God said it. What do I use as a believer these days in a world of lies? God said it. And therefore, I believe what He says. It's true. Whether I believe it or not, it's true. But God said it, and it's true. Every place where God has spoken in His Word, He has spoken truth. A lot of Christians worry these days. What are we going to do? Christianity is being attacked in America. They've gone after the vice president's wife for teaching in a Christian school in the Washington, D.C. area. Oh, they are attacking her for that. Here she desires just to be used of the Lord. And what are they doing? Oh, she's working for a gay-hating Christian school. They haven't said a word about any of the madrasa schools in the United States, have they? Islamic schools that teach, what do you do with homosexuals? You imprison them or you kill them. I haven't heard any Christians calling for that. Not at all. But there is a special hatred because of what God's Word says. You understand that? Now, what do I do? How do I respond to this world? I just believe God's Word. I believe God's Word, and God will take care of me. He will preserve me. He will do what He needs to do. Even if that means going through the realm of persecution or jail or imprisonment or whatever, I will believe God's Word because He said it. And whatever He says is what? Truth. So this was the witness of the women. They went back to tell the disciples. The Lord appears before them. And once again, what does He do? He verifies the Word that He shared, the angel shared with the women. Everything is verified. Here I am. I'm the Lord Jesus. And they see Him there. And He says, go to Galilee. I'll meet you up there. And then the narrative changes all of a sudden. Now we see the other group. The other group that was there and present. Notice this, please. Verse 11. Now when they were going, we're talking about they're heading up to Galilee. The disciples are going that way. The other group, the watchmen or the soldiers, came into the city. So evidently there was a space of time that took place. After Jesus had already appeared to His disciples, they're headed up to Galilee. Now the soldiers reappear. Now where have they been for the last 24 hours or so? Where would you go if you were a Roman soldier and a dead prisoner escapes? Now think about that for just a few moments. Their job was to guard a tomb. And now the body is gone. And the excuse is, we were asleep. How's that going to go over with the leader of the local centurion band? You were what? Do you realize, I did some reading on this, about the punishments of soldiers for infractions, and I want to tell you something. There were major cruelties that were enacted on Roman soldiers that were suspected of being unfaithful, suspected of lying, suspected of not carrying out their duties. One of them was to be stripped to the waist and flogged till they passed out. Can you imagine that? For small infractions. If it was a major infraction, it was tormentous type punishments that were put out on Roman soldiers. They would hang them until they began to asphyxiate, then cut them down, disembowel them, and then roll them over into flames, and then roll them back out, and then roll them back in, and then pull them back out until they were dead, and then they were beheaded. That was what Roman leaders did to Roman soldiers that were suspected of major crimes against the state. Now, you cannot imagine that kind of cruelty, can you? I want us to understand here what this lie entails for these soldiers here. You want us to go out and spread this lie? And you want us to say we were sleeping? What did that mean for the Roman soldiers? So what did they ask for in return? A lot of money. I happen to believe that after they spread their word, they got out of town real quick. You know, they were serving a long way from Rome. They were in Jerusalem. And so they could just disappear and go somewhere else. I don't know what they did. But I know this. that the lie began not with the Roman soldiers. The lie began with the religious leaders of Israel. They came up with this fabrication that is beyond belief, and yet it was believed. It was believed. Yeah, the Roman soldiers fell asleep, and the disciples came, and they rolled the stone away, and they took the body. There's just so many different things that are wrong with that. We won't take time to go into that. But this alibi was passed off as truth. And soon, the message of the soldiers would become the tremendous falsehood of history, to be repeated over and over again in every generation of Jewish families and Jewish leaders since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I thought about this in regard to how the Jews were dispersed in 70 AD, and they took this message all over the world, that Jesus did not rise from the tomb bodily, but rather His body was stolen by the disciples. It went from Israel to Europe. It went from Israel to Russia. It went from Israel to America. Everywhere the Jewish faith has gone, it has taken the rabbinical writings of this event, spreading the lie that Jesus Christ's body was stolen and taken by the disciples somewhere. He did not rise bodily from the tomb. Folks, you see how the devil works? You see how the devil works? Not only was the lie right in Jerusalem, but it was spread all over the world by the dispersion, by the carrying of the rabbinical writings all around the world. When the Jews were rounded up in 1917, in the Bolshevik Revolution, and they began to take them to the border and put them on ships to send them, and many of them came to the United States, they brought with them their rabbinical writings. And they brought with them their views of Jesus and the resurrection. They had carried them all over the world. And today it's exchanged off the lips as truth. And it is nothing more than a lie. Now I want us to think for just a few moments in the 10 minutes that we have left together here about lies. About lies and how they become quote unquote truth. We are witnessing in our country today unprecedented putting forth of half-lies and half-truths and downright lies and downright untruths. But it's always passed off with the legitimacy of what? It's always dressed in the cloak of truth. Isn't it interesting? The picture is given to us about the wolf that wears what? Sheep's clothing. What is that? That's a lie. The wolf puts on the sheep's clothing, as pictured by the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, about how the devil was going to do his work in the church. Let's turn there for just a moment. Turn to Acts chapter 20, because this comes to mind. And I think it's important for us as God's people that we be alert to what's going on. Verse 18, we'll start there. Well, let's start at verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church, the local church there. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears, and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the truth. I've been telling you the truth. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. He's telling them what the Holy Spirit's told him. You're going to be in bondage, you're going to be bound, you're going to be imprisoned. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God, to testify, to witness of the truth Let's go on. Verse 25, "And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, and I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." Perverse, by the way, untrue things, twisted things that have some element of truth, but the majority of it is falsehood. That's the idea behind the word perverse there. "Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, behold, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all of them which are sanctified." Now notice how he honors the word of God here. Did you see that? How he honors the truth of God's word. "I commend you to God and to the" what? "The word of His grace." The testimony of His word. The truth. "I commend you to Him and to His truth, which is able to do" what? "Build you up," number one, "and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Ye have yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the" what? "Words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when He had thus spoken, He kneeled down and prayed with them all." What did He warn them about? He said, there'll be men that will come in like ravenous wolves to deceive you, to tell you falsehoods, and they will couch them as truth. We see over and over again through biblical history and through the history of mankind how lies become truth. But lies never change character. They only change looks. Would you listen to me now? This is important. Lies never change character. The lie of evolution is still a lie. It's untrue. It was made to counter the Word of God and the creation account that's given to us in Genesis. That's the only reason for it. It's to counter. It's another proposal. And what has happened? It moved from a proposal in theory to truth. And anybody that doesn't accept it should be silenced. It should be silenced. Because you're now spreading lies, and all we were doing is spreading the truth of God's Word. What do? We understand the times. Ravenous wolves have come in. And what do? We stick to the Word of God. That's what we do. We don't compromise the Word. We don't exchange the Word for something else. We don't put our opinion, well, I don't think the Word of God is, it should be followed. That, you know, it could have some ins and outs. That's why I despise the gap theory. I'll just tell you. And by the way, it was promoted by the Scofield Bible. Okay? Because it was an effort in the late 1800s and early 1900s to try to fix and work with science. But there are no gaps. 6 days the Lord labored. And then He told the children, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, and on the seventh day you're going to rest. There's no such thing as a gap theory. It was a way to try to console the evolutionary thinking of the late 1800s after the books of Charles Darwin became so popular. We ought not to compromise what God says in His Word. If God wanted us to know there were gaps, He would have told us. Amen? He would have told us! You say, well, there's lots of things He hasn't told us. That's true. But He's told us everything we need to know. There's nothing to be added. If Jesus were to come back today, He would repeat Himself, what He said in His Word. Because His Word is truth. Folks, we need to understand that until the Lord comes back, until the rapture, the lies are going to continue to build and build and increase. Because the Lord said, turn over as we close to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. Wow, think about that statement. Don't let anybody get away with lying to you by any means. Whose responsibility is it? It's mine. It's yours. To make sure we're not being lied to. We want to judge it by the standard, the Word of God. Except there comes a following away first, the apostasy, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And I believe that's a reference to the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit. All right? And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Get that? Lying wonders, deceit, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believeth not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Folks, believing the lie has serious, serious eternal consequences. Oh, they tried. Jesus is not the Son of God. That was the official word that came down from the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees and all the chief priests. Oh, he's not real. He's not the Messiah. And then when he died, spread this lie, soldiers. The disciples stole his body. He didn't rise from the tomb. Even though he was seen and their names are recorded by over 500 individuals, not all their names recorded, but many of them are recorded. Of all those that saw the Lord Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Don't believe your eyes. Believe what we say. Folks, and especially young people here, the lie always comes dressed up as something to be acceptable. Always dressed up. We need to understand. I'll close with this. I told you I read a book on the SS, and I was reading about how they used to kill some of the women and children by feeding them candy. It's candy day. And in the candy was horrific poison that as soon as it touched into the mouth, they began to convulse and die. Giving the candy to women and children to kill them. Why? Because they would receive it then. Right? It looked like candy. It was packaged like candy. It looked like candy, but it wasn't candy. It was poison to kill. And that's the way Satan works. He's going to dress it up like candy. He's going to make it appealing to the eyes. And everything about it's going to look like truth, but it's not going to be the truth. Don't be deceived by any means. Did Jesus Christ rise bodily from the tomb? Do I hear an amen? How do I know that? God's Word tells me. I wasn't there. I don't know anybody that was there except for the person of Jesus Christ. And I believe His Word because God said it. That's the difference. When you possess the Holy Spirit of God in your heart as a born-again child of God, there is great peace in resting in the Word of God. And if you're not resting in the Word of God this morning, you're resting on lies. And you will be deceived, and you'll spend all eternity in a devil's hell because you chose to believe the lie God help us to understand that this is recorded in Matthew chapter 28, that we might know why lies get started and why they get believed. Why do people believe lies? Because they don't want to believe the truth. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. It's so clear, it's so powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It is alive, your word. The lies of this world are dead. They have no life because they are lies that come from men, lies that come from the devil. I pray that you would teach us today and help us to understand why lies are made up. It's always to attack Jesus Christ and the truth of His Word. And great hatred is being poured out these days on Christians who choose to believe the Bible. The vitriol of social media and the vitriol of human voices chorus together in despising the very mention of the name of Jesus Christ and the Bible itself. What are we to do? Are we to cower in fear and try to forget everything that we've learned? Oh no. We seek, as the Apostle Paul did on the island of Miletus, as he encouraged the Ephesian elders, believe the words of Jesus Christ. Build your life on the words of Jesus Christ, and we will not fail. Father, I pray that you would help us not to be building our lives on sand, on lies that promise great things but possess nothing but vanity and emptiness. Lord, there are some perhaps sitting in this room today or listening by way of radio or the internet that are believing a lie right now. Lord, would you help them to understand and know that that lie will doom their eternal soul? Help them to know the truth of Jesus Christ and the truth of the possessing of the Holy Spirit of God within the heart. Oh, what a difference that makes to enlighten and to open the eyes to truth. I pray that you'd work in hearts and lives today, that you would draw precious souls unto yourself, but also for believers to not be deceived by anyone and by any means, but that they might be sharp because they are resting in the Word of God. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.